ASAP, any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, wait. Who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from flexing.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
That's what I do.
Hey, put your big boy boots on. We're going to get straight.
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we are also joined by John Kegley on today's show as well because we're going to be getting into our predictions. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You will get $10 off your next order. We have three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we're going to be getting into the second half of our 53-man roster predictions today. Yesterday, we focused on the defensive side of the ball, but today we're going to focus on the offensive side of the ball. And the Chargers definitely have more questions, I think, offensively, and a lot more guys that are on the bubble and could have a chance to make this roster that we might not necessarily have thought were going to make the roster when we started off in this training camp. So we're going to be getting into, in the second segment, talking about quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. A lot of questions about that wide receiver room right now and running backs with Justin Jackson potentially banged up. And then to wrap up the show, we're going to be talking about tight ends, fullbacks, and offensive lines. So whether it's between Bobby Hawley and Gabe Neighbors, Steven Anderson versus Donald Parham, or maybe even Storm Norton against Trent Scott, there's a lot of battles going on the offensive line as well. So we're going to be talking about who we're keeping on the Chargers roster, but we're going to be starting with the news that there has been some optimism surrounding Mike Williams, according to Shane Steichen, and his possibility of starting week one against the Bengals, and also and a little bit of an update from Austin Ekeler on Justin Jackson's injury and the potential impact of their second string running back right now being out. But let's go ahead and get into it. During a media session on Thursday, the Los Angeles Chargers got updates on two of their major offensive weapons. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. One of the players who is the biggest question mark to play in week one for the Chargers is Mike Williams, who was said to be out about 2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, depending on which reports you trust. But there's been some optimism that he could potentially play in week one against the Bengals, with offensive coordinator Shane Steichen talking with the media on Thursday and saying that he expects Mike Williams to be out there with the Chargers offense week one. And I think that's so important for this team, who is going into a 2020 season where they're implementing a new offense under Shane Steichen and a new quarterback that's not Phillip Rivers. And with Tyrod Taylor getting his first start, it's going to be super important if Mike Williams can be out there.
Absolutely. Mike Williams was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, one of the best 50-50 ball guys in the NFL, and a guy that through the last couple of years has shown some great perseverance, some great toughness, and he needs to come out here and also help Keenan Allen so he doesn't get double-teamed all the time. Mike Williams, so important to be out there and to be healthy. With all the reports of the timelines being whether it's 2-4 weeks or a whole month, this optimism from Shane Steichen is very encouraging for the Chargers and the Chargers offense. Mike Williams, one of the best. It's also incredibly important that Mike Williams is out there because behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, there's a whole lot of inexperience. You got two rookie wide receivers that you drafted this year and Jalen Guyton and a couple of other guys that have very few catches in the NFL. So Mike Williams being out there is very important so that they have a couple of veteran wide receivers on the football field for Tyrod Taylor.
It just brings another dimension to the Chargers offense, having to know you have to have a safety leaning towards Mike Williams at times because they could just throw a 50-50 ball up to him. And like Casey Hayward said, that could be like a 70-30, 80-20 ball with Mike Williams going up against some of these corners. So you might not have the league leader in yards per reception going into week one, but this is the most optimism we've seen towards that. And I think it would be huge for this Chargers offense to get off to a smooth start with so many moving pieces to have this guy on the field. And Austin Ekeler is another another guy who got to talk with the media on Thursday, and he incidentally ended up giving a little bit of an update on running back Justin Jackson's injury. Jackson left the scrimmage on Sunday from the Chargers with an injury, and Austin Ekeler was talking about the injury and said he'll be back pretty soon, hopefully. So that's not really a huge vote of confidence. We don't really have any information on Justin Jackson's injury at this point. We don't have any official injury reports until next week. But David, that could mean a lot of things for the Chargers offense if he is in doubt for week one.
Yeah, and for Justin Jackson, you got to feel for him, but you also have to understand the business standpoint from the Chargers. Justin Jackson's only played in 20 of 32 available games so far in his career, and this year was supposed to be a big statement year for him. He was supposed to be able to go out there, show he can stay healthy, show he can perform, and that he can be a key contributor. See, now Austin Ekeler is the main guy. Last year he had to share things with Melvin Gordon, and now he's going to be the focal point. So if Justin Jackson can't go, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Joshua Kelly to come in and be productive and to be able to complement Austin Ekeler very, very well. So Justin Jackson, if he doesn't get right and stay healthy, he might find his career with the Chargers getting cut short. He is a seventh-round pick. Traditionally, seventh-round picks don't have a lot of rope. If Justin Jackson isn't able to show that he can stay healthy, he might find his roster spot in jeopardy.
I think he definitely ends up making the 53-man roster. I think he has shown, even in the few amount of games that he's been in there, that he's explosive enough to take a little bit more time with. But after this year, I think it's definitely a wild card situation. And for the Chargers, going into it with rookie running back Joshua Kelly, their fourth round pick in the last draft, I mean, to rely that much on a rookie, because even when Austin Ekeler was the main back last year, the first four games of the season, it was still a pretty good split between him and Justin Jackson. So the Chargers could be potentially relying on Joshua Kelly even earlier than they had thought. There were some rumors out there that he could be already pushing to be the second string running back on this team, and now I think he is going to get it earlier and more often, especially if Justin Jackson is unable to go against the Bengals. But we do have two more segments to get into, because we have to finish up these 53-man roster predictions. So we're going to be talking about everyone that's on the bubble and who ends up making our final list from the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers coming up right after this. But first, I need to remind you guys that Built Bars are the best protein bar on the planet. They're the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And right now, they are back and better than ever with 6 new flavors and 18 amazing flavors total, including cookies and cream and caramel brownie. Now, you don't have to make the choice between eating something that tastes great and eating something that is good for you. You can do anything you want with Built Bar. It's great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And right now, we have a special with Built Bar. You guys can get a free cooler with a purchase while supplies last. And if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming back to catch up with the last of our final 53-man roster predictions for the Chargers, because the Chargers will have to cut down to 53 by September 5th, so this is the last time we're going to be able to talk about it. So it's time to wrap things up, and now we're moving to the offensive side of the ball, and we have to start with the number one position on offense, the most important position, and that is quarterback. And this year, there's really not much drama at the quarterback position. I mean, I think that all three of the Chargers quarterbacks that are currently on the roster are going to make the team. I guess there is an argument, John, that they could potentially only keep two quarterbacks, but right now it doesn't make sense to me that they wouldn't have all three of these guys, especially considering everything going on.
It makes perfect sense to keep three quarterbacks. With the whole COVID situation going on, you need to have a backup plan. And if you put Easton Stick on the practice squad, there is a chance that he will get picked up by another team. So you need to keep him on the roster. He's a guy that you know you can trust. And if Herbert or Tyrod or both were to go down with COVID, you know you have a reliable guy on the team.
And I wonder if they would maybe employ a strategy that a couple of different coaches have floated out there, that they would keep somebody like Easton Stick kind of away from those other two guys, because we know in football, the individual drills that happen in any practice day to day, all those guys are going to be close together. They're going to be going through the same drills. Now everything's a little bit more socially distanced, but you wonder if they might even take more extreme measures to make sure they always have one of these three guys available on game day. But David, I know you also have three quarterbacks as well. I mean, I just don't know if there's even really much of a discussion there.
There isn't. No, I think I agree with John in the fact that coming into this season where you have to be extremely careful and, you know, you have to make sure that you have contingency plans for your contingency plans. At the quarterback position, you can't really take any chances. So with Anthony Lynn, he has three quarterbacks that are all fitting the mold in which he wants the quarterback position to be played. So I think it definitely makes sense to keep all three of these guys because, yeah, they all have different experience levels and different abilities, but they are all, at the end of the day, the right and the type of quarterback that Anthony Lynn wants in his offense.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's any drama at this position. I don't know if there's any chance they only go with two. I mean, I guess there's always a non-zero chance, but to me, especially with Easton Sikkenu even impressing in some of these training camp practices, I think he definitely has a spot on this team. I would be more interested to see if they ever want to try and incorporate some type of Taysom Hill package for him specifically to get out there in other situations or even to use him on special teams because he is a really good athlete and he's a really good ball carrier when he decides to tuck it. So let's get into the next position group. This one definitely has a little bit more intrigue now because the running back position for the Chargers might not be so set in stone as we may have thought. So let's just start by saying that in 2019, four running backs ended up making the roster, but one of those was fullback Derek Watt. The other three were Troy Maine-Pope, Austin Eckler, and Justin Jackson. So this year, I think it's probably a safe bet that three running backs are going to make it. But John, I think this year they could potentially consider a fourth option as well, especially if Justin Jackson is banged up already.
And they could also throw Joe Reed out there at running back too and get him some snaps behind center, try to manufacture plays for him.
And both of you guys have three running backs making your final roster, and that is the three running backs that we all would put there. Right now it's going to be Joshua Kelly, Justin Jackson, and Austin Eckler. And I think part of the reason that you feel good about that running back group is because you have Joe Reed, who kind of is a running back in his own right. So you'd feel okay with having those three guys, maybe potentially even if Justin Jackson is banged up already. Maybe if that is something that is a little bit worse than we know right now, because right now we don't know very much. I think Darius Bradwell continues to be an interesting option for this team, especially from what we've seen on HBO's Hard Knocks. I mean, the way he ran in college was a tough in-between-the-tackles runner that who has a little bit of juice but isn't a breakaway speed type of guy, a big guy like you said, John, that can actually, you know, kind of move people out of the way.
I kind of like to think of him kind of like Frank Gore with less speed in a way.
I could definitely see Frank Gore with a little bit less speed, at least Frank Gore at that age, right? I mean, Frank Gore was a little bit faster back in the day. He was never a burner, but I think the interesting thing for Darius Bradwell now is what is his path onto this team, because mostly what we've seen from him on HBO's Hard Knocks was the fact that they were basically telling him he had to get into better shape. We've seen him trying to get into better shape, but I think really you look at what you've seen on there and you see the coaches whispering on the sideline, hey, you know, this guy has game, and really is his conditioning something that is going to make or break his roster spot? That still is yet to be seen, but right now there is an avenue where the Chargers could potentially keep another running back on this roster, and I think Darius Bradwell would be one of those guys who could be that option. But
one thing we do know, Daniel, is that the spotlight from the head coach is on Darius Bradwell. He is definitely on the radar. Anthony Lynn seems to have taken a liking to him, and you know this coaching staff has their favorites.
If Anthony Lynn is taking a special interest in you, even enough to get you that extra conditioning with the John Law on the side, and he thinks of you as a guy that could potentially push for a roster spot, I think that is only good news for Darius Bradwell, and he'll have to hope that he's shown a lot these last couple weeks to potentially try to get a spot on this roster. But another position that has a lot of spots potentially up for grabs, or at least a lot of players competing for the same spot, and I think really a fluid number of how many guys they could keep there, is the wide receiving core for the Chargers, especially given the fact that even with the update to Mike Williams, we still don't feel great about the Chargers wide receiving core right now as far as who they're going to keep, because last year they only ended up keeping five wide receivers, but this Mike Williams thing changes this position group, David. So how many wide receivers and who did you go with for that position?
Yeah, so definitely changes things with the Mike Williams situation. I think they're going to keep an extra wide receiver this year because of that reason. So I have them going with six wide receivers. I have them going with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Jason Moore, Jalen Guyton, KJ Hill Jr., and Joe Reed. Those are my six wide receivers. The reason why I picked Jason Moore over Darius Jennings is because Darius Jennings has been dealing with an injury, and Jason Moore has some experience with the team. So I think that familiarity is going to be in his favor, and the Chargers are going to pick him over Darius Jennings.
And John, you have the same group?
I do have the same group. My reason for picking Jason Moore is I just don't see Darius Jennings as an effective wide receiver on this team. I feel they signed him just to be a kick returner. And when they got Joe Reed, I feel that was basically the last chance Darius Jennings had on this team, unless he somehow could show he could be a decent wide receiver. But based on what I've seen on his film in Tennessee, he's not a good wide receiver.
Yeah, and he did play a receiver role with the Tennessee Titans. Like you said, it wasn't really an illustrious career there that he had for them, and he definitely was known mostly for his special teams contributions. But I do think that is a storyline going into the last week before cuts right now, is who is going to make this team between a guy like Darius Jennings, who this coaching staff has put in there with the twos and ones even at time at wide receiver, and they have thought of him as a receiver so far this camp, or is it a guy like Jason Moore, who only has two NFL career receptions, but he is a guy that knows this system, and he does bring a little bit of experience with the Chargers that he can actually go off of. They have seen a little bit more of him. So did the Chargers see enough in Darius Jennings to keep him on this roster, even if he's banged up right now? We have not seen him in practice for a while. Did he do enough? Are they confident enough in his return game to keep him on the roster? Because right now, with the Joe Reed pick, he does seem a little bit expendable, and I definitely think he's one of the guys that is on the bubble and could make the team and could absolutely get cut once September 5th rolls around. But we do have a few more position groups to get into, because we have position battles at tight end between Donald Parham and Steven Anderson, as well as fullback between Bobby Hawley and Gabe Neighbors, and much more with the offensive line coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the next position prediction for this 53-man roster, sticking with the offensive side of the ball for the Chargers. And we're going to start now with the tight end position. I think the next two positions are really linked. I think the tight end position and the fullback position both will have a little bit to do with each other, and I'll explain in a bit. But starting with the tight end group, this is a four-man group right now, as we see it: Steven Anderson, Donald Parham, Virgil Green, and Hunter Henry. And Virgil Green is another guy that's been a little bit banged up recently in camp for the Chargers. So I think the question becomes, are they going to keep four tight ends on this roster potentially? Could we see more two tight end sets? Is there a chance that Donald Parham and Steven Anderson end up making this roster? And where are you taking that subtraction out from the team, and who gets cut because you're keeping those four guys? Or is it now down, David, to Donald Parham versus Steven Anderson? And do they pick the guy who has a little bit of experience in the NFL in Steven Anderson? Or do they take the guy in Donald Parham who was a star of the XFL and has all of the physical traits that you want and hasn't necessarily shown it all on the field?
Yeah, so for me, Daniel, when I look at the tight end position, I definitely have them only keeping three tight ends. Of course, you go with Hunter Henry, Virgil Green, and I'm actually going to go with Donald Parham. And the reason for that is because of his pass catching ability. He said to that coaches have said that they have been impressed with his blocking ability as well. But there's not many athletes that you can find out there at 6'8" and that can run the way that he can run. So the Chargers haven't had two good pass catching tight ends in a while. That the Chargers have not had multiple pass catching options, I think it would be a good complement to Hunter Henry and allow them to do more two tight end sets. So that's the reason why I have them taking Donald Parham over Steven Anderson and holding three tight ends on the roster.
Yeah, I have the Chargers also keeping three tight ends. I've gone a little bit back and forth on which of these two guys is going to make the final roster for me, because I do think between Donald Parham and Steven Anderson, it's a coin flip right now. I mean, you've heard the coaching staff talk about each of these guys, and you've heard Steven Anderson making plays at practice. So, John, how many tight ends do you have, and who do you have making it?
Well, originally I wanted to go with four, but with the Mike Williams injury, I felt you had to keep an extra wide receiver for that. So I ended up going with three. And I stuck with Parham, and the reason for it was because this guy is 6'8", so you have another jump ball receiver in the end zone to go with Mike Williams when he comes back. And on top of that, he's got speed. He also has a higher ceiling probably than Steven Anderson does. This is a guy who can develop still, is still young, and could probably become worth something with next to Hunter Henry after Virgil Green leaves. That's why I stuck with him. But I feel if you go with Steven Anderson or Donald Parham, whoever the other one is that gets cut, I think he ends up leaving to another team. So it's going to be really hard on who you actually keep.
And both of these guys could be valuable commodities. And I ended up doing an extra wide receiver too. I don't know if I officially said it in the last segment, but I ended up going with Darius Jennings just because it has seemed like they've been trying to get him on the field more as a receiver, which makes me think that they're trying to find a way for him to be an impact on this offense, especially with the absence of Mike Williams. But if he's hurt, and if he's more hurt than we know, I definitely think a guy like Jason Moore could squeeze in there, or the Chargers could potentially go with five wide receivers if they feel good enough about Mike Williams' shoulder. But in the case they go five, I think there is a chance that the Chargers end up keeping both of these guys, Steven Anderson and Donald Parham, especially since they could be running a much more run-heavy offense this season as we expect, and have a lot more two tight end formations, which is not something they ran very much at all. They were near the bottom of the league in two tight end formations, but you know who really ran with a lot of tight ends was the Baltimore Ravens. And we've heard Anthony Lynn talk about Greg Roman, who is his former offensive coordinator in Buffalo, and the fact that he thinks it's going to look something like that. In that situation, they could have four, but I'm going to go with three on this one. And I think I'm going to go back to Steven Anderson. I think Steven Anderson is the guy that ends up making it. I'm going to go with Hunter Henry, Virgil Green, and Steven Anderson. He has NFL experience. The Chargers are going to be relying on that third tight end. I think that position definitely has a role with this team. And I just don't know if Donald Parham has been able to show enough just in this small amount of time that he can actually be an impact player for this team, or if he's too much of a work in progress at this point. But this is a coin flip at this point. I think that Donald Parham and Steven Anderson both have a legitimate shot to make this roster, and the Chargers are going to have a very tough decision between the two of these guys. And I think this actually bleeds a little bit into the fullback conversation as well, because if you had four tight ends, versatility might not be as big of an issue with the fullbacks that you have on this roster right now, because guys, we've talked about it before, that's the main difference between these two guys. Bobby Hawley is a guy that's a traditional fullback. He's going to stick his nose in the dirt and he's going to go and try to blow somebody up every time he runs through a gap. And then you have a guy like Gabe Neighbors, who was a tight end slash fullback in college, and he brings you something in the receiving game that we really haven't necessarily seen out of Bobby Hawley. So this is going to be a very tough decision for the Chargers as well. We do think they're going to have a fullback, John. All three of us have a fullback making the roster, but I think it really is going to come down to how much the Chargers appreciate the versatility of Gabe Neighbors, or if they want to go with a more traditional style of fullback.
That's basically what it comes down to. And if you're asking me, I think it has to go to the guy with the power. The last time the Chargers had a really effective running game for a few years was when they had some power fullbacks. And those guys would be guys like Lorenzo Neal or LaRon McClain. Those guys were helping LT and Ryan Matthews find holes. Now, did Ryan Matthews get hurt and it didn't look as fancy as it should have? Sure. But even with Derek Watt was a little bit more of a power guy, and that helped Melvin Gordon a lot when Melvin Gordon wasn't tripping on himself. So I feel Bobby Hawley could help this offense a lot with his power. Gabe Neighbors is full of versatility. He can make a lot of plays in a lot of places, whether it's the passing game, lining up outside, whatever it could be. But I think you have to have power at the fullback position to have an effective running game to set up all the other passing plays you're going to need with Tyrod Taylor.
In an offseason like this, where undrafted free agents are going to have a really hard time trying to make the roster, I think for the Chargers right here, this is the obvious place where an undrafted free agent is definitely going to make the 2020 Chargers roster here. So for me, I went with Gabe Neighbors in this situation. I just think the versatility in his pass catching ability is going to lend itself to allow the Chargers to have more flexibility on their roster. So this one was really difficult for me, though, Daniel. I mean, I went back and forth, but I think Gabe Neighbors is going to be the choice.
I think it really comes down to is Mike Williams' health. If Mike Williams comes back and by September 5th and he looks good, I feel they only keep five wide receivers, keep four tight ends, and if they keep four tight ends, Gabe Neighbors is out of the question.
I think if the Chargers take four tight ends, that Gabe Neighbors is out of the question as well, because I do think that Bobby Hawley is the better pro-style fullback. I think he is going to be a people mover in the Chargers offense if he ends up making this team. And I think there is more of a role for a fullback with one of these two guys than they ever had for Derek Watt. And Melvin Gordon was so reliant on Derek Watt at times that he pretty much had to be on the field for him to be effective. And we've seen fullbacks in the past get involved in the passing game as well. But I think what it also comes down to, too, is Shane Steichen, if he considers that fullback position a weapon that he can use more in play action and get those guys out in passing routes. And I think that's why Gabe Neighbors ends up winning the job at the end of the day, because the Chargers are going to have a ton of movement in this offense that they're going to run with Shane Steichen. I think they're going to run a ton of play action, and I think you could see whoever the fullback ends up being a guy that ends up catching passes. I think with the route combinations they're going to ask of their fullback, I think it's something that Bobby Hawley could definitely do. But considering the fact that on my 53-man roster prediction, I only have three tight ends making the roster, I think that this job is Gabe Neighbors to lose, but it's going to be sad if someone like Bobby Hawley doesn't make the team, just because you have the videos of him pulling up trucks in his driveway uphill. You know that Bobby Hawley is the kind of fullback you think of when you want a good fullback on your team. He's big, he's physical, he plays with a nasty edge, and I think if the Chargers want to go the more traditional route, they go Bobby Hawley. But this coaching staff has chosen time and time again to go with a guy that brings them versatility. So going into these cuts, I would give Gabe Neighbors the edge over Bobby Hawley to end up making this team. But we still have one more big discussion to get into, and that is the offensive line for the Chargers and some spots up for grabs in that position group as well. And I think let's talk about the guys we know are going to make the team. Every single one of us has Sam Tevy, Trey Pipkins, Dan Feeney, Mike Pouncey, Brian Bulaga, and Trey Turner on the team. But there's a lot of backup spots that we have to get into, and I think Scott Questenberry is a guy that we all have as well, being the backup center right now. But another position where an injury could have something to do with who ends up making this roster, David, with Mike Pouncey not practicing for the last few weeks of training camp. So for your offensive line, who did you end up going with outside of the guys that I ended up having, and where was the competition for you?
When I look at the offensive line, Daniel, minus the guys we already know is going to make the team, I think the battle was between Storm Norton, Trent Scott, and Ryan Groy. And I think the main battle there was Storm Norton and Trent Scott, because we know Trent Scott has some versatility at playing tackle last year for the Chargers. They were trying to move him inside to guard. And then you got Storm Norton, who is said to have impressed the coaching staff so far in training camp. And I think his ability to play both tackle spots and the fact that they had him at those spots when the first team tackles were out in practice shows that the coaching staff has a lot of confidence in him. And I think he is going to be the guy that wins that roster spot at the end of the day. So I think it's going to be Storm Norton and Ryan Groy that the Chargers keep. So it's going to be 10 offensive linemen altogether.
Yeah, and I have 9 offensive linemen in my group. I don't have Ryan Groy making the roster. So besides the 5 starters that we see right now, the reserves with Trey Pipkins, Forrest Lamp, and Scott Questenberry, that gets me to 8. I have one more spot, and I was looking for a tackle, and I think that is the position battle to look at. It's Trent Scott and Storm Norton at tackle, because now Trent Scott has played a little bit of guard, but he does give them the chance to go be a right tackle if Brian Bulaga were to get injured. But from everything we've seen so far in through Hard Knocks and through reports coming out of training camp is that Storm Norton has impressed. I think he will be the backup right tackle for this team. And for someone who the Chargers sought out from the XFL, I think to come into a training camp like this and be able to impress these coaches as he has in such a short amount of time and under such weird circumstances, I think is truly impressive. Plus a guy like Storm Norton, is there a way that you can cut someone, John, like that, who has such a perfect name for the Chargers?
No, I could not. I couldn't cut him. And just based on everything I've seen, we've had a short training camp basically due to COVID, and he is impressed in a short amount of time. Just imagine what he could have done with more time, how much more he could have impressed, how much more he could have grown. So I think he has an extremely high ceiling, and I think that's why he makes the team over Trent Scott. Storm Norton is probably going to be the future of this team, and that's a bold prediction on my side, but I think he could be the future of this team. I also kept Forrest Lamp as my third guard on this team. So in my roster, Trent Scott is not making this team at guard or tackle, and I think his time is done here unless we get an injury and he's still laying on his couch waiting for a phone call.
And it's kind of crazy to think about the fact that at this time last year, There was a ton of hype surrounding Trent Scott, and he was supposed to be the savior who came in the absence of Russell Okung and really held things down for the left side of the Chargers offensive line, and it just never came to fruition. Trent Scott got out there and really struggled, and now went into this training camp trying to change positions in a shortened training camp. So there is a legitimate chance that a guy who started as many games as Trent Scott for the Chargers last year finds himself outside of the roster in 2020. And I think the main reason for that is we've seen in practice when Dan Feeney has moved over to center, Forrest Lamp has been the next guy up at guard. So I think that right there solidifies his spot on this roster. There were questions about whether it was time to move on from Forrest Lamp, but it seems like he is solidly right there. I think the Chargers will only end up going with three pure guards and think that Scott Questenberry can be a guard if they really need him to be, and he will be the backup center behind Dan Feeney if Dan Feeney is playing left guard. And I think that all ends up impacting the final roster. But for me, Storm Norton has done enough during this training camp to really give himself a legitimate shot at a right tackle spot in the NFL. And I think that is a lot of credit to him. And I think that Trent Scott could be finding himself on the outside looking in, even after starting all of those games for the Chargers. But that is going to do it for our 53-man roster prediction in 2020. The Chargers are going to be cutting down to 53 men September 5th, guys. So by the next time you hear from us, we'll be back with you guys next week, which will be a game week. We're going to be talking about the Cincinnati Bengals and giving our reaction to the Chargers 53-man roster and how this ends up shaking out. But there are a ton of spots on the line. There are a ton of young guys who are trying to make final pushes for roster spots, and I can't wait to see who they end up deciding to keep. But until next week, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to give your thoughts on the roster, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924. And we try to get every Chargers voicemail on the show. So thank you guys for listening to our roster predictions. We can't wait to break down who ends up making this team on Monday. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.